Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Hello, Ward.
Hello, Eric.
Hey, man. It's good to feel good, right?
It is. It is. You know, we go with the winds. Whichever way they blow is how we tend to feel. And there's a good, strong breeze right now. And Hoosier Nation, how do you feel about this new piece?
Well, one, I'm happy that you are getting over your bout of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
So that's good. Although you did just tell me that you might have a COVID cold on top of the COVID.
It's very confusing. I thought my COVID was just like a cold, and now I'm testing negative and I still am congested. So I don't know how this all works. But yeah, now, of the four family members who have it, only one is currently. Oh, I didn't tell you we all got it.
The ladies tested positive.
They did. But Annie got on the antiviral drugs, knocked it out in a couple of days, despite having a terrible metallic taste in her mouth.
That's the key. That's the one that everybody says it happens. Yep.
But yeah, it's now only our daughter, Bo, who is, you know, look, these kids were just on spring break. They're not complaining. They don't feel that bad, but they're not going to school. So
I get that part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I don't want to make too big of a deal about this.
Okay.
But I, in January of 2021, mm-hmm. which was within the first year of COVID, when things were really popping off.
Sure.
I went to Tampa, Florida to watch Indiana play in the bowl game. I returned. Mm-hmm. Later that year, I attended multiple Indiana University games whenever that was available. I have done multiple productions around multiple groups of people. I have shook hands with thousands of people and probably licked my hand after many of those.
Sure.
I have never had COVID. Now, look, I'm not saying that I have the perfect immune system, but someone does. And who knows?
I just also know how many conversations we've had where you said, I don't know, but I'm not going to test. I don't know. I don't want to know. So, and considering
considering
how mild my symptoms are both times I got it, I'm just saying you might have had it on the down low.
Okay. But because of what I do for a living, I've had to test fairly regularly for almost 3 years now.
Fair.
And no positive test. I'm just saying, hey, science, if you want to study something pretty great, come on over to Casa de Pankowski.
Well, and it will prove, I should say, that the strength of one's immune system has nothing to do with nutrition.
Correct. Well, yes. if I am pure proof of that. I mean, pure proof. Nor does it have to do with being in good shape. Like, I mean, I'm just...
Or maybe the key to not getting COVID, 8 cigars a day.
Hey, that could be it. You know, Ward, cigars help fuel me in the same way that a certain entity does what to us?
Powers us by? Oh, man.
Oh, God, I couldn't land the plane. I could not land the plane. I thought I had a parallel situation going on and could get to cigars power me just like we are, and I should have done that.
There it was. Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't want to say power me, but I should have said cigars fuel me just like we are.
Powered by... CommunityCars.com.
Sponsor of the Podhoosier Hysterics. CommunityCars.com. Hoosier Legends talk with Ward and Eric. CommunityCars.com.
Are you going to put it in again?
No, just once.
Which one are you going to do it in?
Which would you like?
I don't know. I don't care.
I'll do the second one.
All right, listen. Let's talk about, before we get to the big Indiana men's basketball news, let's talk about the other really exciting thing that happened.
Shouldn't we talk about community cars for like a second?
Last week I said, don't be a jackass, go buy your car at Community Cars. And I got to tell you, I feel like that sums it all up. But yes, we should talk about Community Cars. Who pays for this?
They're great. I love them. They love the community. That's why they call themselves Community Cars. If you want to buy a car, they're in the community in Bloomington, in southern Indiana. If you want to buy it from El Paso, Texas, if you want to buy it from Boise, Idaho, if you want to buy it from wherever you are in the United States, all 50 of them, what about Puerto Rico? Do we know about Puerto Rico?
Oh, my God. More research. Daryl?
Yeah?
We got to check on Community Cars. Do they deliver to Puerto Rico?
Where's that?
South.
I'm on it, bro.
Thanks, Daryl. Boy, the Daryl bit just gets better and better each time. It's just so much comedy comes from it. So much.
Bob and Tom, eat your heart out.
Yeah. I mean, really, just one of the great regular bits in podcast history. So look, we love Community Cars. Any way you want to buy the car, they'll take care of you. CommunityCars.com. Now, let's talk about something that happened last night in the world of IU women's basketball, which was super, super amazing, which is, of course, that the GOAT, Grace Berger, in IU women's basketball, became the first-round draft pick in the history of Indiana basketball to be picked in the WNBA.
Correct.
And she went number 7 to the Indiana Fever.
It's like a dream. It's like a dream.
A fever dream?
A fever dream. That's right. That is right. I mean, the feel-good story is still being written. Obviously, you know, we're all so sad to see her go, excited to see what her future might hold. But I didn't look at WNBA mock drafts. I didn't know that Lynn Dunn was a bigwig there with the Fever. So I didn't realize
the GM.
Yeah, that there would be a very close eye on Miss Berger. And then to see Coach Morin's reaction when her name was announced, I get goosebumps talking about it right now. It was beautiful.
I couldn't agree more. That visceral shout that she just let out, like this primal roar, was so cool. I do want to know, did they not have enough seats for everybody?
I just assumed she was so jacked, she was up on her feet.
But there were a lot of people on their feet in that back area. I don't understand, like, did they run out of chairs? But seeing that and hearing her do that, go to Twitter, look for that video. It is remarkable. It just shows the connection that she had to Grace. And the outpouring of love from her teammates at Indiana on Twitter and social media and from Indiana for her and getting that achievement of being drafted seventh, it's just beautiful, man. It is just life-affirming. It really is. And I love that we get to follow her. I've never followed the WNBA before. I will follow Grace Berger. I will follow her extremely closely.
Well, and look, there was a lot of controversy when it came to the championship game in women's basketball, but there can be no doubt that the profile of women's college basketball was never greater than this season. We were all so consumed with our Lady Hoosiers and how, you know, incredible the Big Ten really was. Obviously, that season ended sooner than we would like, but that it wasn't just us in our Big Ten echo chamber, and particularly in Bloomington, being so hyped about our first number one seed ever. It was really a national thing. And now it'll be interesting to see how that continues potentially into next season for college. Will this start to help the WNBA even get a higher profile than it already has? And there can be no doubt, with so many new fans coming to the women's game through the Indiana Hoosiers this season within the state, within the IU fan base, there's going to be so many like you and me who are now going to be at least checking the box scores on the Fever. I'm not sure how many games we're going to be able to get out here. I'm sure there's some package where you can see them all. But look, and there's a franchise, what, they got the number one overall pick, the young lady from South Carolina. And
Aaliyah Boston. Yeah.
It's probably a really good time to get in on the Fever train, because this was a team that needed to rebuild, and what an incredible start with those two incredible players.
Yeah, it's just so great. It's great for Indiana women's basketball and great for Grace. And we have gotten to know Grace a little bit over the last few years, and she's wonderful. She's just perfect. She is the perfect representative of Indiana women's basketball. All right. So before we get to our guest, we should get into Indiana men's basketball. And we do that
by having you tell people that we are
brought to you by
IU Ventures presents a segment without pretense. Who's your hoopla just for you?
I don't know what I'm doing. We're brought to you by IUVentures.com. What'd you think of that? You like that presentation?
I not only laugh when you do it in real time, but also when I'm editing, because it's one of the points of the show that I always have to find and cut on. Gets me every time.
Well, that's good. You're the one. IUVentures.com. We've been talking about them for the past like 5 months now, and they are an incredible part of Indiana University. They are the only part of Indiana University that actively writes checks to businesses and entrepreneurs that are from Indiana and are from Indiana DNA, whether it be students, faculty, staff, or alumni. IU Ventures writes checks to help them seed their businesses, and they also provide a platform for angel investors, people like you and me. You got a little scratch, a little Skrilla, a little dinero, a little
cheddar.
A little cheddar, a little cheese, a little
dough.
You got some shekels?
Some pennies, some dimes, some nickels.
Some pesos?
Some lira.
Pounds?
Euros.
Yen?
Yep.
You got any of that lying around just burning a hole in your pocket and you want to invest in something connected to Indiana University? This is the place to go. Go to IUVentures.com, IUVentures.com. Sign up for their free email newsletter to keep you informed on all of the businesses that you can invest in, to keep in touch and up to speed with all the businesses that they are funding.
You mentioned IU Ventures is the only part of Indiana University that actually cuts checks like they do for us. So listen, seriously, the deal's about to be up. Guys, get signed up for IUVentures.com. Get involved. Tell them the Hysterics sent you. We want to keep this partnership going, but we got to show something for it. So get to the website.
You know what? Speaking of checks and speaking of money, yeah, I do want to mention one thing before we talk about the major story, and that is what happened on Pigs.com this week.
What? I mean,
or I should
so
say
many
last week into the weekend.
Yeah, so many things happened, and we'll get into those. But what you're referring to was a beautiful thing.
So organically on Thursday, a IU fan who's on Pegs.com, and if you're not subscribing, you are not a true Indiana fan. It's where you go to get up to speed, up to date, real-time info on everything happening.
People who aren't Pegs Premium members also don't shop at Community Cars. Same kind of person.
Same kind of person. And they don't sign up for the IUVentures.com newsletter. Not IUHoosiers.com. Something different, and they're not paying for it. So someone posted a message on the message board that basically said, hey, let's do a Pegs portal push for NIL. And they said, yeah, look, we're in the portal. We know that NIL is important in the transfer portal and for our continued success. Let's see what we can do here. And that day, just organically, raised about $6,000 to $7,000.
Crazy.
Then somebody the next day kept it going and said, you know what? I'll match up to $5,000 of any Pegs contributions from now through Easter Sunday midnight, and I'll throw an extra K on top of that to make it 6K. We blew through that number and raised in just like 72 hours, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we raised $11,800, something like that. He put his six on top of that, plus the six from the day before. It's over $22,000 from just really Pegs members on the premium board. It was unbelievable to watch. We are so grateful and so thankful to every single person. And people gave between $10 and $1,000. And we are just overly moved and humbled by it.
And heartened, because we all knew going into this, we had to play catch up. We had to come up with our own way to catch up with those programs that have been paying players for a long time before NIL came around. And when you go to Las Vegas and see us in, you know, 10,000 deep rolling, obviously around Bloomington, New York, wherever you want to go, you know that this fan base is big, it's vocal, it's supportive, and it's like, that's how we're going to catch these guys. Yes, we have to have some serious fat cat step in with big old checks to keep up. But I think the way that we can even surpass those other programs is not only having this grassroots collective. I can't imagine, not that I go looking around, but I can't imagine any other fan base has a group of people like this who will just spontaneously start giving thousands of dollars in a couple, 3 days because one person said, hey, let's do this. And I think it just speaks so much more to the passion, even than the purchasing power, if you will, of our fan base. And, you know, look, we've been kicked a lot over the last few decades, and that there's this kind of love and dedication, it just heartens me to be like, man, we are not going anywhere.
We aren't going anywhere. Thanks to Indiana University Hoosier fans. And thanks to a huge commitment, the big fish in the transfer portal, I will refer to him as Kal-El, otherwise known as Superman, Kal-El Ware, who committed to Indiana University on Monday afternoon, a whirlwind sprint of a recruitment from the time that his name went into the portal to the time Indiana got him to visit to the commitment was so much better than following a high school recruitment. I mean, it's just so much better.
It's like you're packing 2 years worth of fretting and hoping and wondering and fighting and debating into like 72 hours, 96, whatever it had ended up being before it became clear. Yeah, I guess when he canceled his other visit that, I mean, look, and only Pigsters are going to get this. Like now salamanders and salamander gifts are forever a part of our community. And it really just speaks, one, most of us have way too much time on our hands, way, way, way too much time on our hands. But when you pack it in like that, it creates such an energy and excitement that you never would expect, you know, what, a week after the championship game that we weren't in? It was like, this is such a fun new thing.
And I've not watched a single game that Kal-El Superman Ware has ever played in. I've watched highlight reels, and he's clearly the best player in the country. Yep. And we are clearly going to go to the Final Four because he's coming to town. It's just, I don't even want to get into like breaking down his game. I have no clue, except that he's 7 feet tall and can apparently do everything on the basketball court. So welcome to Bloomington. Cannot wait for him to be here. We'll leave the over-analyzing of his game to other people.
Go read Trevor Andershock's article. Go read what Rabbi has to say. A couple national guys when he entered the portal. 247, they got you covered. And then I tried to
and
watch...
And we ain't done yet. And well, we ain't done.
And we ain't done. But I'll tell you, I tried to watch one of his games at Oregon, but seeing the floor, I got a migraine instantly, yeah, and I had to turn it off.
By the way, people want to know why his stats weren't better. That's why.
That floor fills me not only with pain and blurry vision, but hatred.
Rage. Pure rage for Oregon and everything they stand for, except thank you for giving us Kal-El Superman Ware. You get the Kal-El reference, right?
I do, of course, yes.
Okay, good. I didn't want you, because you hadn't responded to it. I thought that maybe you just thought that I was pronouncing his name differently and you were just going to go with it.
No, I still haven't heard him say it himself. So I'm always hesitant to try to pronounce a name. And of course, with growing up on Superman, and look, that was out there. The Superman, yeah, jokes are out there, and I think they should remain, and I believe he will live up to those. But I'm always hesitant. Like, I think it's disrespectful if I pronounce somebody's name wrong. So I wait to hear them say it, then I repeat it to myself out loud like 10 times before I go public with it.
Fair enough. Chris Ledlam, Harvard guy in the transfer portal, visiting Tennessee this weekend, might visit. Looks like he is going to visit St. John's. That's the next guy that we are hard after and really want. This guy, Dalton Connect from Northern Colorado, trying to secure a visit for him. Still working on that one, not set yet. But transfer portal season is so exciting. So why not bring on someone who is in the thick of it and chiefly responsible, and he won't like me saying that because he's such a team guy, for getting us Kal-El Ware. Why don't we get to our guest?
Turns out we got two great dudes from Oregon.
Here comes our guest. Here comes our guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, oh yes, our guest today, he is here. He is absolutely, without question, one of our three favorite assistant coaches on planet Earth.
No, I'll just say it. Today, he's number one.
It's
today.
True.
I think he's number one today.
If there was a poll today, he would be number one across all of Hoosier Nation. Eric, who is this gentleman specifically?
Hailing from Atlanta, Georgia, and representing Douglas High School. That's right, going way back. This gentleman has a bachelor's in sociology from the University of Oregon, where he also completed a calculus class. He has been an assistant coach. He has been an assistant coach at many. He's been a player in Division I college basketball. He's also been a coach at places like Oregon, at places like Alabama. And of course,
Georgia. You gotta say Georgia. Gotta
throw. Do I have to? All right, Georgia. I didn't know they played basketball in Georgia.
Just a little bit, every once in a while.
All right. Well, I know some high school players play down there.
Oh yeah,
that's a few.
He is currently associate head coach of Indiana University, and dare I say, he damn well earned that title in the last week or so on the recruiting trail. Because let's just lay it out. He cannot talk specifically about this gentleman yet because the paperwork is not in, but we can. He is responsible primarily, even though he'll tell you it's a team effort. He is the guy that was the lead on getting Kal-El. We call him Kal-El Superman, where to come from Oregon to Indiana. But he's somebody we've gotten to know very well over the last couple of years, and we love the guy. Please welcome Coach Ya.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Coach, it's good to see you smiling.
Yeah, I mean, I can't lie to you, man. This portal has been a lot, but we got something to smile about today. And hopefully in the next couple days, or about a week or so, we'll have some more to smile about and then some more to smile about. Hopefully.
All right. So let's just get into, obviously, we cannot talk specifically about Kalel. Oh, you can do this. Give me a thumbs up if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Kalel? Down? Thumbs down?
See, that's why I don't say, I told him I wasn't going to say it publicly until I heard him say it.
Khalil.
So my son's name is Jaleel.
Khalil Ware. Okay, very good. That was smart. Yeah, that was super, super smart. Guy's been around. All right, so I just want to get into, let's talk about the transfer portal a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. This is your third recruiting season, basically, at Indiana. I mean, your first one was a little weird because you had just been hired.
Yeah.
But it's the third transfer portal, and it is the transfer portal on steroids. It is fully realized. You have the COVID year still in effect for many kids. Yeah. You have the one-year transfer rule in effect.
Yeah.
How different is it this year? And did it surprise you how it exploded immediately?
I think it's different this year than it was last year because of NIL. You know, NIL really wasn't there. You know, last recruiting cycle, it really wasn't there. So, at the end of the day, I think now that you know you have these guys, there are guys in the portal that's looking for money. So they're just straight looking for money. They don't care about winning. They don't care about any of that stuff. They're just looking for money. And obviously, you have to sift through all those things to kind of find out, you know, obviously, you know, with NIL, it's a part of it. So you got to participate in it and you got to let these guys know that, you know, we do very well at NIL, but that can't be the primary reason why you're trying to come to Indiana. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, like everybody else, trying to hang a banner and you got to have the right type of people to be able to hang a banner. You know, you can't just have people searching for money. I mean, it's not the NBA. I mean, it's kind of turning into the NBA a little bit, but at least the NBA have guidelines and they also have a salary cap. Right. Like some of these numbers out here is not salary cap numbers for some of the guys, you know, for actually their ability, put it that way. So I think that's what made it different, the NIL. Obviously, there's a lot of kids that go in to the portal. There are a lot of guys that go from mid major, but I think this year you've seen a lot of guys go from high major to high major and very bluntly have come out and said, you know, looking for NIL dollars. So I think that's what's scary about it. But I mean, it's a necessary evil. And if you're going to be in coaching, you got to deal with it. So it is what it is.
I wonder from just the logistics organization standpoint, like you guys are so ensconced in tournament play and just trying to make the most of the season at hand. And we all know, oh, you can't really talk or communicate, but yet you have to be ready. The season's over, the gunshot is fired, and it's go. So I wonder, in something like, hey, you guys aren't really interested in somebody just looking for a paycheck. You know you got to have a winning mentality coming in.
Yeah.
How do you sift through that in an efficient manner to be able to just hone in on the guys you really want? Because you know other teams want them too.
You try to use relationships. You know, you've been in this business. I mean, King has been in 25, I think. I think I'm at about 20, 21. Walsh is obviously fairly new, but at the same time, you just try to rely on relationships. I mean, obviously, you have to cold call on some guys because you may not have anybody that's connected to the person. I think a lot of these guys now have agents. So you got to get involved with agents. It's just a lot of variables that you have to be involved in now to just, you know, just, I guess, dissect it and kind of figure out who's the best, who could fit. How do you get to know someone when you're only talking to them for like a month and then you're trying to get them to commit? You know, usually when you're recruiting a high school kid, you're recruiting them from probably their sophomore year all the way to their senior year. You know, some of them a little bit less, but you usually are putting in a year of work, getting to know the people around them, getting to know their mom, dad, families, AAU coaches, uncles, girlfriends. You know, right now it's speed day.
Speed day.
And you have to gather as much information as you can from as many people as you can and kind of find out about the kid. Do they fit? Have they done anything in the past? You know, why are they leaving? So all those things, man, are just, you know, become factors now with this portal. And that's kind of how we, I mean, even when we were playing, man, I hate to say it, you know, if it wasn't your scout, you need to be scouring the portal and kind of figuring out. I mean, yeah. We were trying to, you know, identify guys even when we were playing, because that's, it's really not fair that they open up the portal when people are in the tournament. It's like, come on, bro. Can you just wait? But
I agree.
Again, it's a necessary evil. You can either complain about it and lose, or, hey, it is what it is, and try to go get you some players and try to figure out how to, you know, construct your roster.
So I want to talk about that and back up just a second before we're, you know, using relationships to find out if this guy is the right fit. Is there a meeting that happens at the end of the season? The season ended last year, obviously a little earlier than any of us wanted it to.
Yeah.
But hey, our first round of 64 win in many years at Indiana, a nice incremental step increase from the year before where we made the tournament for the first time in 6 years. But do you guys get together and go, okay, we pretty much know Trace is gone. We know Jalen's gone. You know, we have a sense of who's going to leave, and we have a sense of where the holes are. Do you sit around and go, okay, we need to attack. We need a five. That's our first priority. We need a shooting guard. Like, how did that work? How did that strategy kind of get
started? Obviously, meetings, several meetings throughout the year. You know what I mean? Talking about the next year, what could happen, what could not happen. What if this person leave? What if that person leave? You're really all the time looking at all five positions. You know, because just with the state of college basketball, any guy could leave.
Right. I mean,
you know, Hunter Dickinson left Michigan.
Crazy.
I mean, he was the leading scorer. They went to the Elite Eight, I think his first year, went to the Sweet 16 the second year. Last year,
won the Big Ten.
Won the Big Ten. Obviously, they struggled last year, but then he leaves. You know, so you
good
never.
Riddance.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I ain't got a coach against the guy. He good. But, you know, you obviously are just – you're just trying to prepare now for any deflection. Like, it doesn't matter.
So, and that's it's all really – it's not even, like, strategy. It's just, you know, when the portal opens, we've got to get in on almost everybody. Like, I think, though, like, you knew you had Malik, right? You felt pretty good you had Malik.
Felt pretty good about it. But guess what? You never know. I mean, if you were with us at the Final Four, obviously, you go to the coaches' conventions and everything. You are on, like, most coaches are walking on eggshells because they have no idea what is going to happen to their roster. None of them. And the mid-major coaches especially, they're terrified. So you really don't know. Yeah, obviously, Malik, you know, he told us early, coming back and ready to come back and all those things. But you never know who are in these kids' ear and trying to get them to be enticed by something that they may have heard. You know, a lot of this stuff is hearsay. A lot of the money that you're hearing is hearsay anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I think our NIL program is great. Thanks to you guys. Not sure if I can, you know, talk about it, but at the same time, you know, we have a good NIL program. So, you know, you hear a lot of things out there and some of it is not true. So you never know what someone is telling one of the guys on your team. So it's just, it's a lot, man.
I do wonder about that because by all reports, we do have a very robust NIL program here at IU. But, you know, you can't sit there and tell these players, yeah, come here and you're going to make this much, you're going to make that much. In terms of them sort of understanding what the potential at IU is, how much are you just kind of hoping the players who have benefited from that already, and we've heard that Trace and Jalen have been great recruiters for the program, that they're fondly leaving. Do you just kind of hope those guys step in and give those guys real information that they can walk away with?
Well, and then we do a good job with our Zooms. You know, we obviously when you get a kid and you get them on a Zoom, and if you can get them to campus, Becky does a great job of explaining our NIL. And every time, I mean, every single time that someone has left our NIL part of our presentation, they've been blown away. So, you know, she does a great job of explaining it. She does a great job of you know, telling them where it comes from, how you get it, the people that's involved in it. So she's done a really good job when it comes to that.
So is it a little Milli Vanilli situation when it comes to our NIL? Do they use two different faces for Hoosier Hysterics NIL Collective? And then when they get here, they realize it's us, but you already got them. Do you have some models sitting in the presentation?
We got y'all faces on that light.
I want to talk about that. That's great. And I've heard that the presentation is really robust and really powerful. Let's talk about Xavier. So you're talking about, you got a plan for every eventuality, right? And every scenario. Well, that's a tough one because you're submitting a waiver request. We have no idea if it's going to be approved. I get it that people are cautiously optimistic, but you don't know. It's out of our control. Mm-hmm. But you can't possibly go to a point guard that's in the portal right now and recruit them in earnest, can you? And compete against other people?
I think you just got to be honest. I mean, Jalen came here last year with X being the primary point guard. You know, at the end of the day, he came and obviously it worked out for him. I mean, obviously, you know, Xavier did get hurt, but at the end of the day, they played together in the beginning. Actually won some big games in the beginning. Some are
undefeated when they both played together.
You know, so at the end of the day, it's the style of play. You know, obviously, you know, style of play plays a big part in it, which our style of play is probably going to have to be a lot different now that 20-10 just walked out the door. But at the same time, we were able to explain to people, like, what we're able to do for guys in that position, you know, because – you know, we can play 2-point guards, and we played 2-point guards together, and they obviously played well off each other. But and then Jalen just, you know, he actually just took off after X, you know.
But let me ask you a question about that, yeah, because there's so much conversation about style of play from fans, from people looking at, you know, who's winning in the tournament to recruits. I mean, you know, there's no secret that there are some recruits and the people around them that won't even go to a conference if they think that the style of play isn't conducive.
Yeah, we get hit a lot. The Big Ten gets hit a lot. We get hit a lot in recruiting. I mean, it's probably – I've been in 3 conferences now, and the Big Ten gets hit a lot.
Fairly or unfairly?
I think it's a bit unfair, obviously, you know, because I used to hit it too when I was in another conference. But I think this is a very, very good league. I think there's very good coaching in this league. Obviously, they have been good guys in this league over the years. But if you really look at it and if you really break it down, there's been some really good pros come out of this league too. You know,
there have. But when you look at the numbers, yeah, you're right. There have been some really good pros, but not the same numbers that come out of the SEC and that come out of the Big 12.
No, but you also got to count Kentucky. Like, come on, man. Like
take Kentucky out. Big 12.
And you got to count for who? Kansas.
Okay, but you can't just start removing all the best teams.
No, I'm not saying that, No. I'm not saying that you remove those. I'm not removing those teams. But if you count it, most of the pros are coming from one school.
Okay, Pac-12. Pac-12 has more pros than the Big Ten.
Right now they do. Right now they do.
So what we've got good coaches. Is it as simple as that we don't attract the top talent because the refereeing sucks and allows people to beat the shit out of each other? I mean, is that – I know I'm being, like, totally blunt and you can't go that blunt, but how far off am – there's got to be a reason, that the conference isn't attracting the top-end talent that the other conferences and those schools that you mentioned are. So why?
Yeah. I think there are some other factors that were
– Cold weather?
Cold weather could be a part of, but I think there were some other factors before that.
Cheating.
Probably, I wouldn't say everybody don't cheat. Everybody doesn't.
But when you say other factors, that's what you. Yeah, but we didn't look. Everybody can cheat. We can say that, but there are schools that cheat more egregiously than others. And truthfully, most schools in the Big Ten didn't do it as egregiously as SEC schools, or even some Pac-12 schools, or even some. What conference is Gonzaga in? No, I'm just kidding. but that's a fair state. I mean, that's a fair thing to analyze, and I get that. But NIL should level the table on that, shouldn't it?
No, not really.
Yeah, because we have to
continue to get more pros. I think that's what attract kids. You know what I'm saying? Your style of play attract kids. You know, there's not a lot, like the style of play in the Big Ten is just different. You have guys that don't play up and down. There's a lot of teams in the SEC that play up and down. There's a lot of teams in the Pac-12 that play opening up and down. In the Big Ten, if you're trying to win, you got to have a big or two. You know, now I think the conference is shifting away from it. If you kind of watch a little bit of it, you know, I think the one team, and I hate to say this, the one team that has always kind of been more athletic than everybody has been Michigan State. And I think that's why they kind of do well in the tournament. You know,
they have more pros.
And this is something that I've watched even when I was coaching at Oregon. So this was that long ago. I've always watched Coach Izzo's teams because he's always had athletic wings. He's always been athletic. He's always, for the most part, been the most athletic team in the Big Ten. And I think that's why he usually has success in the tournament.
Well,
but
it's
you could also look
at what Beilein did, right? And he had some more athleticism on the wings, but it was also style of play. And not only did he fare, right? And they fared well not only in the conference, but I mean, he was getting further in the tournament more often than Izzo was. So yeah.
But to that point about the pros, I mean, you think about Tim Hardaway Jr., right? Glenn Robinson Jr., the point guard, Trey Burke, Zach Irvin. Like they had a bunch of guys that were pro.
And even the guys that he left over. France.
And Jordan Poole, right?
Jordan Poole wasn't with he wasn't with Juwan, but he was a pro. He was with Michigan, though.
He was with Beilein.
Yep.
Oh, you're saying he wasn't one that was left. Yeah. Yep. Those brothers, right? The German guys or whatever, yep. Right? Yep. Yeah. No. And that's a good point. So, do you feel like Indiana? You know, at Indiana as fans, we don't like to think we're trying to emulate anybody, right? We try to think that we are setting the standard, but we haven't been the standard for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And do you think that the shift that you and Kenya and Woody and, you know, led by Woody and Brian Walsh, do you feel like we are on that path? Or are we getting there as fast as you thought we would, or what?
I actually think we're getting there too fast because now we went to the tournament back to back and it's like, okay, well, you better make it to the tournament again. Because usually when you come in, it's kind of, you know, you kind of got to build it. But we were left some good pieces and, I mean, we trying to reload, not rebuild. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I mean, we want to keep going to the tournament. We want to advance in the tournament. We want to make it to a Final Four. I mean, we're not sitting up here trying not to make it to a Final Four or a national championship. We want to hang another banner. And that's the goal in mind when we're recruiting. That's the goal in mind every day. That's the goal in mind doing workouts. That's just what the goal is. Now, how quick can we get there? Trying to figure it out. Probably not as fast enough for IU fans, but that's okay. That's just part of being here. So it is what it is.
Let me ask you about the evolution of the program in your time there and with Coach Woodson and how that reflects on the pitch. Because I think when Coach Woodson was hired, you got there, Kenya stayed. We're all like, well, he's, you know, this NBA background and IU legend and the winning history. But, you know, now you have to put that pitch into effect.
Yes.
Lightning quick. And make it stick. And with the success and the development of Trace and Jalen and with, hey, we got into the tournament right away. We got further into the tournament. We did better in the conference. Maybe I'm doing this for you, but is it easier now than it was 2 years ago?
With the portal, man, it's never easy because a lot of times these guys don't care about winning. So that's where you got to go back and you got to figure out who you can get, you know. I always say this, and I said this when I first got here, Indiana not for everybody. Everybody can't play at Indiana. Yeah, I'm sorry. I hate to say it. You know, there's some talented guys out there. They can't handle the pressure of playing at Indiana because it's pressure to play at Indiana. It is.
Yeah.
It is what it is, and we explain that. You know, like there's a pressure to play at Indiana just because there's five banners hanging up there. I don't care how long ago they – I mean, it's been 30 years, damn near 40 years. But at the end of the day, there's still pressure because – those banners are hanging up there and they want another one. Bad. So everybody can't play under those lights. But, you know, we do got an NBA coach. We have one. Now, you know, knock on wood, hopefully we can get two guys in the first round. And then that helps in recruiting because now it's like, okay, this is what we've done. You know, this is what we can do.
I want to go back to the whole idea of the portal and how you're reloading and not rebuilding.
Yeah. Trying.
Right. Of course. But the truth is, yeah, I think that, you know, it used to be in college basketball for most teams. And there's some that are just, you know, the Kentuckys and the Dukes that just can get talent, like crazy levels of talent every year. But most teams would like build a nucleus that is your core for 3 to 4 years. And you get as far as you can with them. And then you do have to take a step back to then rebuild a new core.
Yeah.
And with the portal, it has kind of changed that calculus a little bit. A
little bit.
I would imagine that even in the time that you've been coaching at Indiana, just from 3 years ago or 2 years ago till now, the focus has shifted from, you know, 80% on high school, 20% on portal, to now it seems like portal has almost overtaken high school. Where's your head at with where you think Indiana should be on that?
I think you still got to recruit both because it's something to be said about those guys that stayed here this year. It's funny, I talked about it today. I mean, we recruited those guys to be players at Indiana. So at the end of the day, by them sticking here and understanding our system, we hope next year they will be able to be contributors, you know, because you still got to – you can't go on the portal unless, you know, obviously there are some schools that do that. Like Arkansas, they do it. They can go get 10 or 11 or 12 guys. I don't think you want to get 10 or 11, 10 to 12 guys out of the portal every year. Okay. And the one thing that I've noticed by being here for 2 years, even though we're losing Jalen in 1 year, fans in Indiana, obviously they appreciate good players, but they also appreciate players they get to know.
Yes.
So we want to have a couple players that they actually get to know. That way we can help some of these young men that if they don't go to the NBA or if they are not successful going overseas, they build these relationships with our enormous alumni base that is great everywhere, all over the damn place, that we can help them, you know, again, be functioning members of society and find a job or, you know, things of that nature. So you still want to have some high school guys, you know, that want to be at Indiana. And you fill in through the portal. I think that's how we're trying to look at it. I mean, but you never know. It could be a point where we may have to get 8 guys in the portal. You never know. But I don't think we're trying to do that every year, year in and year out. I mean, we want to still look at some high school guys because there are some high school guys that can help you. Now, do you want a full team of all high school guys? No, because it's hard to win. Can it be done? Yeah, but you got to be uber talented. You know what I mean? You got to get the top of the top high school guys.
Yeah, but the truth is, I don't know if you can win. I don't know. I mean, like, what team is doing that anymore?
Well,
Kentucky and Duke tried.
Well, when I say win, you're saying win a national championship. I mean,
saying like Final Fours now. Like, I mean, Kentucky and Duke struggled in the one and done era.
They did. You're right.
But UConn got help from freshmen this year.
I agree. Help from freshmen for sure, a balance. But if the focus is freshmen and sophomores, I think those days may be behind us for a while. I mean, you just look at UConn
depending on the talent of it and what you're doing development. I mean, it's our job to damn coach and develop too. I mean, you got freshmen on your campus, you need to help them become better sophomores. I mean, that's just.
Well,
it is what it is.
I want to hit on that real quick on something. Yeah, if I could, just to follow up real quick, Ward, on something that I hope I'm not revealing something here that we talked about off podcast. But I thought it was really human of you, and I wanted to talk about it. The flip side to getting transfers, and we're all excited as hell about what has transpired in the last 24 hours, 48 hours. But the flip side is you lose people. And you lose some people that we did get to know. You know, we lost Jordan Geronimo, who's been here 3 years.
Yeah.
We lost Tamar Bates, who's been here 2 years and is a big personality. Yeah. And, you know, we lost Logan Duncan, who we didn't get to know that much because he had a bunch of injuries and health issues.
Yeah.
But losing Tamar and Jordan is hard. I mean, and as a coach, you build relationships with those kids. And you did say something to me about Tamar specifically. And, you know, we love both those kids and love their families. So I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about the hard part in losing those kids.
Well, the hardest part is because you put work into them. You try to, you know, you try to get to know them. You try to find out about them and you want them to be successful. You know, you never want a kid to come in here and not be successful. That, you know, you want him to be successful in some way. So you just hope that he learned something here that he can take on to his new school. And sometimes people need to change the environment, but it's not easy. It's not easy when you're sitting in that room and a kid tells you, you know, well, I'm going to go into the portal. It's just not easy because you always want in the back of your mind. I know I do as a coach. What could I have done better? What could I have done better to help him feel more comfortable here, to help him play better? You know what I mean? Things of that nature. You know, I always feel like it's something that I could have done better. Even in this day, even in this day and age with the portal, because some kids are just leaving just to leave.
And look, it's pretty well known that you work primarily with the guards on the team. You know, X, our last podcast with X, he just gave you so much credit for his progression. But Tamar's a guard, and Tamar came in with a lot of hype and a lot of talent, and it just didn't work out. Do you take that on personally?
Yes, I really do, because I feel like maybe it was something I could have done. Maybe I could have spent more time in the gym with him. You know, and sometimes it's just maybe going to hang out with him more. You know, just you get so caught up sometimes in winning games, which just, I mean, that's how you feed your family. You got to win. You better win or they'll get rid of you. But there's also another side of it to where we're dealing with young men who are trying to find themselves in life. So what could I have done better? And it may be, and maybe I couldn't have done anything better, but I always try to think of, you know, what could I have done better to make his experience here better where he could, you know, where he could stay. But you're not going to, everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to like Indiana. Right. It's not going to work out. I wish those guys success. You know, I think they deserve success. You know, I think they worked hard for us here. I mean, they both were on back-to-back teams that went to the tournament. Tamar played 20 minutes a game on a tournament team that advanced. You know, we did win a game in the tournament. Geronimo had some, I think when Race was hurt, he had some of his best games. So yeah. Those guys are good players, man, and I wish them well. I you know, they were a part of our success.
It does seem inevitable that in this day and age, if you're not in the main rotation or if you don't see in next season's forecast, you will be a part of that.
Yeah.
People like if you're beyond 7 or 8 on the depth chart, you're going to be looking around.
Yeah.
So I think, and that obviously goes both ways. And when you're still a relatively new program, as far as this coach, these coaches, and now really just starting to have a roster made almost exclusively by folks you brought in. Now, look, I think the Anthony Leals of the world are already so rare, and it's only going to be rarer, you know, to have a guy like that who's all about IU and winning and just being a part of the program and the family.
True Hoosier.
And what I
think. And there for all of your real estate needs.
Yes. He's going to do just fine.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
So from the flip side, when you said, hey, maybe this is happening too fast. Hey, we want to reload, not rebuild. But there's got to be an excitement and advantage about like, well, this is the style of play we're moving towards and we can actually get there faster now.
Yeah.
And to kind of look towards that, you inherit Trace Jackson Davis. Now you guys had to convince him to stay a couple times and that is an amazing recruitment right there.
Yeah.
But now, as you could say, Woody can create this team in his own image or the image you guys all kind of evolve into together.
Yeah.
Do you have those conversations about, well, look, if we find a couple guys like this and a couple guys like this, this is where we can go with it. What's that look like?
I mean, obviously, we want to play an NBA style. Woody's always want to play an NBA style. But, you know, I mean, we hear the people talk about style play and all those things. But scoot over 6 inches like I did this year, you're going to throw the ball to Trace.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to throw the ball to Trace. That's what you're going to do. And he's going to put guys around him and hope that they make shots. So, but if you look at coach's track record, he's always, you know, been a guy that spaced the floor, try to space the floor out, try to have shooters, create shots for shooters and things of that nature. But we had Trace, 20 and 10. And every time he got the ball, he either scored or he got double teamed. And when he got double teamed, it created an open shot for someone else. To me, that is being smart, you know. Yeah, we could have shot a bunch of threes, but that wasn't going to be what, you know, we weren't going to be successful at that. You know, I think we shot threes better last year. I think we'll shoot threes this year. We'll probably shoot more threes this year because we don't have a dominant guy that we have to give the ball to, you know what I mean, to create so much offense for us. So I think Woody will probably be more comfortable. I won't say he's more comfortable not having Trace because that's crazy. I mean, anytime you can go over to the scorebook and you can basically put 20 and 10, and any coach in America would love that. But I think you'll see more of his offensive repertoire this year. You know, things that he's done in the past, things that he's been able to do when he was in the NBA, creating shots for shooters, creating other things for other guys. You know, I think our guys will be more involved in offense than they were last year just because of the style of play and just because of Trace being gone, even though I would love for him to come back.
Yeah.
Sorry for the people that want us to just run up and down and shoot threes. I would love to have Trace back.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, one of the greats yeah. of all time.
Yeah.
I want to talk for a second about Gabe and Ja'Kai, if we mm-hmm. could, because yeah. you know, we talk so much about the portal and the people that yeah. we're recruiting and the people.
We can actually talk about those guys.
Mm-hmm. We can, right. and we've talked to you, I think, about them after they signed, too. But I do want to talk to about them in the context of they're coming into a team likely to have a lot of upperclassmen and a lot of guys who are pretty much not guaranteed their spots. I get Woody doesn't yeah. guarantee everything, but when you're transferring at a high level, you know you're going to play a lot. And yeah. Gabe and Ja'Kai are coming into a world where, like, who knows what their role will be.
Yeah.
Do you approach now, going back to Ward's point of if you're not in that top seven, top eight, are you already looking to transfer? How do you approach those guys and bring them along so that they don't get frustrated if their number is not called?
Well, you got two guys right there that's going to compete. So at the end of the day, either they're going to make our team better or they're going to move somebody ass out of the way. That's the type of players that they are. So they're not running from any competition, neither one of those guys. So they're going to make our team better because you're going to be worried about one of those two guys getting some of your minutes because they're coming here to take minutes. They don't care who it is. Those are the type of competitors they are. Now, if they come here and they have freshman walls and things of that nature, you just stick with them and you always spend time with them to get them to understand. You know, the part of it is you got to get guys to understand you may not be that good right now and you got to keep working. You know, I think that's why some of our freshmen stayed this year. You know what I mean? Because they looked at it like, you know what? We see it. You know, we need to get better in these areas. And you continue to try to help them get better in those areas. And you're in constant communication with them and the people that are surrounding them to get them to understand what the truth is. Like, there's no coach in America that's not trying to play somebody that's going to help them win.
Right.
Just, it is what it is. So if a guy's not playing, it's not because the coach don't like him or something like that. It's because he don't feel like the guy can help him win at that moment. You know, so that's, you know, just trying to explain that to parents and the people surrounding these kids is, you know, it's hard, but sometimes you got to just tell them the truth and then the chips fall where they may.
Let's talk about the freshmen. Obviously, Jalen Hood-Schifino, I think inarguably the best freshman point guard Indiana University has had since Isaiah Thomas. He's going to go off and make us all very proud in the NBA. Yeah, I mean, like, go through it. And Yogi was great as a freshman. He had a lot of guys around him. He didn't have to do nearly as much. He didn't put up 35. I mean,
it is a great thing to say.
Yeah.
But the bar's pretty low.
Don't go there. We're keeping this good vibes.
Steve Alford was a point guard.
Not really. No, he's more of a pure shooting guard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Small, but he's not. But the truth is,
look, that was like 2 years after Isaiah. So
I know. but the truth is in Bobby Knight's systems, because of how he ran it outside of Isaiah, there weren't pure point guards. Like, that's not what he didn't need that, you know?
Yeah. We digress because I would like to get your thoughts on the development and the progress of Malik
And then, you know, even with CJ and Caleb, they got out there. They got some run. And they, as far as we all know, they will be in Indiana uniforms next year. And I think that's really saying something, that you have two guys in particular who didn't see a lot of minutes, didn't put up a lot of stats. So what makes you excited about seeing those guys come back?
I just think their athleticism and the fact that they know the system. There's something to be said to know the system. And the fact that they came back. So that lets you know they really want to be here. You know, and they really believe in what we're trying to, you know, I mean, what we're trying to teach and what we're trying to sell. And I don't really want to say sell because we ain't no used car salesman, but what we're trying to do here in Indiana, they believe in. And I think you're going to see tremendous progress in both of those guys. Obviously, they played behind upperclassmen last year. There are some times in practice where they kicked the upperclassmen's butt, you know what I mean? But I think sometimes just getting that game time and gaining that trust as a freshman is hard. It's not easy to gain trust, and you're going to roll with the guys that, you know, I know there was always moans and groans sometimes about Miller. But at the end of the day, we knew Miller was going to be in the right spot defensively. And if there was an opportunity to try to make a shot, he wasn't going to be scared to take the shot. He wouldn't be scared to take a charge. You know, he was a better defender than most people probably would give him credit for. And he knew our system, you know, like the back of his hand. So, you know, I think those guys, seeing those guys, Miller was a big help to our young people, our young freshmen, because he was always trying to teach, especially Caleb. He was trying to teach Caleb every single day. I literally made Caleb follow him around during practice, because his preparation for practice, just his preparation for life in itself. You know, I just wanted some of that to rub off on Caleb, because he's a big time guy. He was a big time leader for us this year. He really was.
And on Malik a little bit, how do you see his game expanding beyond just being a back to the basket around the rim guy?
Yes, we actually been working on it in the spring. He's been working really hard. I don't think people realize Malik lost a lot of weight last year. Malik took his shirt off. He's kind of chiseled up. I think he wants to make the transition to play more out on the floor. Obviously, we're not going to take away his back to the basket game, but we're going to put him out on the floor. I think there were some opportunities that he had last year that he's shown that he can play out there defensively, which is big, you know, because he switched on some smaller guys. He guarded some fours that were, I would say, so-called, quote-unquote, hybrid fours. So I think he's going to make a tremendous jump this year. And, yes, he's going to have to, you know, make some strides and playing on the perimeter also.
Can I read a quote real quick?
For me?
I'm just going to read a quote and I would like you to respond to it.
Okay.
This was taken after a game that Indiana won, a tight game that Indiana beat Minnesota. The quote is, if you can find 25 to 30 people better than him in this NBA draft, hey, I'll kiss your ass. Why don't you walk us through that moment when you said that? And then how quickly did you realize that that was going to become something much different than you thought it was going to be?
You know what? I was so excited that we went first. I did not want to, you know, have to cut my Twitter comments off if we lost. Trace made a hell of a play at the free throw line to get a putback rebound.
Yes.
But it's crazy, man, just because I pull for Trace. Because I think Trace, at the end of the day, I think he gets a raw deal, because everybody always trying to talk about how he's, you know, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, he doesn't do this, but he's productive. And I hear it, and I had, you know, NBA scouts asking me about it all the time. And, you know, I just was like, come on, man. What else does the guy have to do? I mean, everybody wants him to shoot a jump shot, but why? They didn't tell Shaq to shoot a jump shot. You know why? Because they couldn't stop him. You know, so I think I think that was a lot of it. You know what I mean? Just pulling for him and what he was doing at that time, how he was playing, how great he was playing. And it was like, come on, man, you can't tell me. And, you know, I look at the draft board stuff because I'm pulling for our guys to get drafted. I'm even pulling for other guys in the Big Ten to get drafted. That way we can up the recruiting in the Big Ten. So,
but is it fair to say that you got halfway through that quote and you didn't really know where you were going to end it, and then you just spewed out, "I'll kiss your ass."
Yes, that is true. And you know, and both of you guys know that because you've been on TV, so you get it.
Right? We know it well. We do it every day.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I didn't. I wanted to say something else.
Right.
But that's what came out.
We call it. Yeah, it happened on the intro here. We call it when we are unable to land the plane.
Yes.
We take off. Great. Right?
Yes.
You're flying, you're cruising at 40,000 feet, and then you gotta land the damn thing.
Yes, and it is like, just, oh wow.
Goes down a lot faster than it goes up.
Oh, my mother called, everybody called, like, "Yeah, what are you doing? You can't curse." So the first thing, when I talked to Woody on the phone, he said, "Yeah, you can't curse on TV."
Well, he curses all the time.
That's hypocrisy.
I was like, "You know, I got it from you." And he started laughing. So
look, I'm glad you brought it back to Trace, because look, even with us and the show, and the season ends and people are disappointed, and then, oh boy, we got to talk about the transfer portal. I just feel like we should bask in the greatness of Trace a little bit more. And let's say, for example, you know, you got to replace Trace. Maybe somebody out there who's super tall and awesome and athletic and oozes with potential. You got to pitch him on how Trace turned from one of the best players in the conference to arguably the best player in the country by the time you guys got done with him. Could you talk us a little bit through the couple-year evolution of Trace? And please don't leave out the passing, because everybody on the national scene just ignores the assists, which drives us crazy.
Yeah. You know what, man? And I'm not going to lie to you, that's him and Woody. Hmm. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I've never seen a guy, they had such a good relationship, but it was times where they went at it. Like, because, I mean, Woody going to coach you. I mean, it is what it is. He's going to coach you. And Trace accepted it. So for him to accept it and for him to work and for him to buy into what coach was saying, I think the evolution of his game just took off. I mean, coach put him in situations where he had to learn how to pass. You're going to get double teamed. You got to be able to make these plays. Showed him the options. Showed him the reads. And then he started making the reads. You're going to have to be able to handle the ball, Trace. You need to get the ball off the rim and be able to handle the ball. Put him in those situations. And he excelled. And really put leadership on his shoulders. I mean, square on his shoulders, him and Race. He put it square on their shoulders because he was a captain. And I think sometimes people have to realize, I think everybody realized, I mean, he went to Indiana. And he was at Indiana when Indiana was in his heyday. And he was a captain. So he knew what it was like to be a captain at Indiana. That's where his brain is. He doesn't see the other 20-something years that, you know, that we all talk about or that we struggled. All he said is, when I was here, I think you alluded to this before, E. You alluded to this where
did
all
you just
he saw
forget
was
my name.
No,
forget my name.
I really did.
I mean, there was a big pause there. Did you just forget my name? I'm not gonna let.
I didn't know if I wanted because okay, no, it's because I call you E, or I either call you Eric. So I didn't know which one I wanted to say.
Don't worry about it. Just tell him you'll kiss his ass.
So. But I think you've alluded to this where he was here when it was, boom, it was the heyday. Yeah. He was a captain. He doesn't.
No, he took a long weekend in the NBA, and then he came back on Monday.
He came back. So he understands, you know, what it is to him to be a captain at Indiana, it means something. So he used to just, I mean, he used to hit him square in the eye with it. You know, you guys going to lead this team. You're the seniors. You're the captains. And you're going to have to accept this coaching, and you're going to have to get the rest of these guys ready to play, because that's what captains do, and you're going to have to perform. And he just put it on him, and Trace accepted it, and he did it, man. He had a great 2 years, but this year was he was doing some stuff, man. I was like, wow.
It was incredible watching his evolution the last 2 years. And look, you guys, and you give the credit to Woody, and so be it. He deserves it. Woody unleashed him. That's what it seemed like. It seemed like before, and I'm not trying to denigrate Archie, but Archie played very structured, and you know, you do only these things. And he didn't let all of Trace come out. And Woody unleashed him, especially defensively, but also as like a point center, which was really needed, truthfully, after Xavier went down.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to watch that. I do want to go back to your, you know, you have a record in college basketball. In fact, in all of basketball, you are tied for the greatest win percentage in the history of basketball. You're 1,000%.
Hey, and that means I don't have to coach another game.
Yes, but
I will say this. That's not easy.
Were you nervous?
I wasn't. I was more nervous for our guys, and I was more nervous because they had two guys out. And I just knew that our guys would be like, oh, they got two guys out and whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I was nervous for that part because what we do is what we do. You know, obviously calling plays and doing something different. But I knew in my mind they would come out in zone because why wouldn't they? And they played zone the whole game. So from that standpoint, yes. I just didn't want to lose.
Yeah, you know? That would have sucked.
You know, I think probably the first 2 minutes I was like, I was fine. I was pretty calm.
Sitting down for a while.
Yeah, well, because I had Trace.
Right.
But then when it got tight, I got scared.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to apologize to CJ after the game, and he'll laugh at this. Like, I put him in for like 25 seconds. Hey, one mistake. I would never want to be that coach. But I was so nervous in that moment. I was like, no, I got to get him out.
Did that 40 minutes, did that taste make you go, this is what I need to be doing? Like, yes. I want to get back to this seat.
Yes. I want to get back to that seat. I do want to get back to the seat. But I do understand now when coaches talk about all the things that you have to think about. Because obviously you care about all the kids. You want to give them all the opportunity. You want to give them all the opportunity, but you can't give them all the opportunity. And to top it all off, it was my kid's birthday. So I wasn't trying to lose on their damn birthday.
No, boy. You had everything work. Well, listen, Ward, do you have one more and then we'll wrap it up?
Yeah, I just want to say, look, Coach, we know there were already whispers out there about potential suitors for you, and that whenever that day comes, as long as it's 7, 8, 9, 10 years from now and you've hung a few more banners in Assembly Hall, we'll all be rooting so hard for you. But we're just going to enjoy this next decade together with you doing all your great work.
Maybe everybody can cheer for me like we were cheering for Dustin.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, nah, that.
Really? No. Well, because Dusty's a good friend of mine. I like Dusty.
Cool.
I mean, he did a hell of a job. I mean, it's funny. We were all sitting there, and Coach was like cheering, like, man, I hope he wins. Yeah, I hope he wins. You know what I mean? Just
of course.
It'd have been great for basketball. You know what I mean?
I want to leave you with one thing. Consider it a tip, maybe a piece of advice. If you guys want to keep like recruiting stuff secret, maybe don't do dinners and breakfasts in the middle of Bloomington on busy days and nights.
I wasn't trying to keep it secret. I mean, maybe.
Why are you trying to take all the fun away?
Well, you want me to be honest? I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think sometimes what happened in recruiting, because we are Indiana, people are always trying to shoot arrows at us. So sometimes I'm trying to keep it as quiet as possible to keep from so many arrows coming at us, being in a big team, we haven't won in forever, all those things and all those naysayers. And then you have sometimes when players are here, and I don't think these people are true Indiana fans. They get in the comments of these kids, oh, he sucks, you shouldn't come to Indiana, which happens at every school. So it's not just Indiana.
But it does impact things. It can impact things.
So sometimes that impacts. So sometimes when you try to keep it as quiet as possible, I knew it wasn't going to stay quiet long. And he wanted to keep it quiet because he's on a mission. One of those guys that I'm talking about, this certain guy, he might be on a mission. So that's what it was. I can't. Fair enough.
No, you caught yourself there. Yeah. We'll go back and look at that and re-edit it if we need to protect you even more. Yeah, we love you. We love the success that you're having in this transfer portal. We want nothing but success for you, just like you want for the players. And excited to see this team reload.
Reload.
That was our guest.
I got to tell you, Ward, I love every single time we've ever been able to talk to Yah, whether it's been the several times he's been on the podcast or the times we've been lucky enough to talk to him in person. I just find that there is a thoughtfulness to him that is refreshing. Like, he takes it seriously. He takes it personally. He has fun with it, but he thinks about it. You know, he really thinks about it all. And I really respect that and admire it.
Yeah. And the thinking is good, right? Like, somebody can think really hard and just the results are mediocre, but he's always coming with a point of view that's unique. And for him to come to IU, and I think this is what was always impressive about him from the jump, as they say.
His jump
was that he gets it. And he gets it, like, in this, what was initially an objective way, like what he signed up for. And now he's in it and of it. And he is so good at explaining what they want to do, what they're about, what they're trying to do to us. You're like, oh, well, that's what he's telling people who might want to come play basketball there. And I forget if it was Trevor, maybe it was one of the national guys, mentioned that this staff is getting a reputation for really having a connection with the players and being personable. And, you know, and we've seen that. And yeah, he's around our age. But I just feel like that way he can really connect is something that clearly transcends being middle-aged.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's also just cool. I mean, he's cool, unlike you and me. He's just cool. He can talk to guys. He's cool.
Yes, no doubt. Everybody actually involved with Indiana University basketball, you know, that staff Coach Woodson has put together is cooler than us. But there's that relatability of spazzing out on camera and saying something you just really wish you could take back. Now, to our credit, we could edit a lot of our stuff out, but then we'd have like a 4-minute show. So we also have to leave it in.
Also, you're a terrible editor.
I am, and lazy.
We would edit it out, but neither one of us knows how. I just thought so much of it was interesting. I do think you and I have talked a lot about this. We've talked about it on Spaces. The biggest conversation, I think, in college basketball is transfer portal meets NIL versus high school recruiting. And that balance is out of whack right now. I mean, I think most people are like focusing more on transfer right now.
Well, because it's transfer season, right? And I think all this is, I think every year it's going to be like when free agency starts or when the draft's coming up, you have this flurry of focus and activity around this thing, and then it will subside. And there are those high school recruits we've been working on for a couple of years.
Yeah, but yes, but I don't think it's the same thing, Ward. I don't, because you're right. Like, I mean, look, the transfer portal season is short and it's finite. It's not like the high school season where you just keep recruiting a freshman until he decides. There's a certain number of people in the portal and they have to decide they're in the portal by, what is it, like May something, like that's the deadline. And then you have to have them enroll by June. So it's over. And then you don't have to think about those players again or any transfers until the next season. You have to develop and you have to do the legwork so that you are ready, for sure. But I think that over 1,100 kids went into the transfer portal. Some big-time players, Hunter Dickinson, Caleb Love, Khalil Ware. Shouldn't it be K-E-L-E-E-L? If it's Khalil?
No, it should be exactly like his parents wanted it to be spelled.
Fair point. So there's giant names and bona fide productive Division I players and many upperclassmen, juniors and seniors. I think that there are schools, Arkansas is one, that's ahead of the curve, but others are getting there. Kansas State did it. That are going to be much more reluctant about the net that they cast for high school kids.
Yeah, but you said it was like out of whack. I think each program, each coach is going to have to determine what is in whack for them, right? And I thought Yah gave us some good insight there that they don't want to completely go away from high school players. And, you know, look, Indiana doesn't have the monopoly on good high school students that it once did. But at the end of the day, look, Jalen Huchefino was a freshman. You know, Malik was a freshman. And, you know, especially somebody like Malik who could be around 2-3 years, why would you ever want to completely get away from that?
It's a longer argument. If we were in debate camp, I could make the argument that as good as Jalen was for 1 year, you could have gotten the same production with less of the ups and downs that Jalen had from a junior or senior, and all the resources that you spent on Jalen, and I'm going to just leave that phrase there, would have been better spent on somebody who in the transfer portal you knew you were getting for 2 years, who was like a more seasoned junior who wasn't ready to go to the NBA, but could lead you for 2 years. I'm not saying that's the right answer, Warden. I'm just saying I think it's a big debate going on. I had a conversation with another head coach, not Michael Lewis, about this very thing.
Was it Matt Painter?
It was not Pork Chop.
Okay.
And he said 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it was like 15% portal, 85% freshman recruiting. This year, it's like gone 50-50. And he said next year, he said, I think for us, he was speaking about them. And to your point, every coach can decide how they want to go. But he's like, to win, you cannot win with a bunch of freshmen. You can't win with the freshmen being your best players. You won't win the NCAA tournament unless you've got a really good team and you just bring in one stud that can help you. But you better be relying on the older guys. He's like, I think it's going 80-20 transfers.
But look, that is not that different from what college basketball has generally been as far as upperclassmen is what get it done. Now, you might be bringing them over, but look, Dean Garrett and Keith Smart had some mileage under their belts, and they showed up in Bloomington and got us over the top. I think where those coaches will have to look at, well, look, we've got this core of guys who know the system. They know how we want to play, and now we can drop in these couple of guys, and they should be able to hit the ground running. We'll have another couple freshmen who can maybe contribute right away. I think it really is, you know, how complex is the system. You know, how long does it take for a new player coming in, whether they be older or younger, to pick it up?
Right.
So it will be interesting to see, when does somebody like a Musselman get over the top and win the whole thing? You know, a lot of people pointing to Kansas State this year, obviously. But look, everybody thought, oh, Duke, Kentucky, they're getting all the one and dones, they're getting all the talent. And that is back out the window. You're not usually going to get that far in March with a bunch of youngsters, no matter how good they are. So it's like, where do you want your balance? How much do you want to be your guys that you brought up? And how many mercenaries do you want to come in to get you over the top?
I do go back to that stat that we talked about a couple weeks ago, when, you know, there was that stat of the 40 players in the Elite Eight, 19 of them were transfers.
And how many were seniors? Like
16?
Yeah.
And then one was a freshman. And that is, I mean, that does make you look, we talked about this on Spaces that you couldn't be on this one. Whoever gets Tamar Bates, okay, is going to get a better Tamar Bates than we got.
Yes.
Like, I don't think you would doubt that. Whoever gets Jordan Geronimo is going to get a better Jordan Geronimo. Whoever gets Logan Duncombe. The resources that you put into these high school kids that aren't like bona fide Carmelo Anthony, you know, Jalen Huchefino, where you know that they're going to contribute right away. Are you better off, if you're just playing the numbers game, would you be better off just going, unless I get one of those guys, getting the 70th ranked freshman who I know won't impact my team this year, and what is more likely to happen, because these are all just risk assessments, right? That's all it is. It's just risk. But what is more likely to happen with the guy ranked 70th? He comes in, he doesn't play, he gets frustrated, he transfers. That seems more likely now than he fights through it, and by his junior year, he's ready to play 20 minutes a game. It just, you were talking about, if you're not in the top 7 or 8, Tamar Bates was number 7. Number six sometimes. And it wasn't good enough. And I'm not blaming Tamar, but I'm saying we live in a world now where 3 years ago, Ward, you wouldn't think of transferring.
Yeah, but there was a huge drop-off between six and seven on our team.
No, no, for sure, but he was getting minutes.
Right.
Look, he didn't make shots. Is that Indiana's fault? Like, but now he can be like, even if I'm not making shots, I can go transfer, and somebody's going to promise me a starting spot, likely.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just wonder, where is it most efficient? You know, if you're doing like an analytical study on this, which I'm sure as the sample size grows and grows, we'll see these. Does it even make sense to recruit a freshman who you really don't think is going to impact your team right now? Unless the other side of it is an Anthony Leal. If it's a kid that you want to give the scholarship to that you never anticipate playing, but he lives and breathes your program, then that's a good kid to have in the locker room for 4 years. And he's number 13 on the team, so it's not going to affect you.
Yeah, I guess where I'm looking at it, because I'm looking at, like, you know, Ja'Kai and Gabe coming in.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, one, not everybody can play at Indiana. I think that the staff has made it very clear to them what they're signing up for. And if that's, in fact, who they are, and they get there and they got to spend a year, maybe two, really working themselves up to get into that position, great. If they're like, I got to get out of here and find something else that's more my thing. Well, I mean, we're bringing in other guys anyway, whether it be maybe a top 30 or 40 freshman that could have beaten them out for that spot, or a junior or senior from another school. So I do feel like we are probably a year or two away from getting like numbers that really start to mean something, where you have it at mass success, both in conference and in tournaments, and where that all shakes out. But so much of it, it will come down to individuals, the coaches, the players, the programs, of like, well, on paper, this year we should have been really solid. This was like on paper kind of the same makeup as what the team that won it all last year did. And for us, we barely made the tournament and lost in the first round. So it'll never be a formula you can take to the bank, but it will be interesting to see 2 years from now what IU and Philly posts about what the best case makeup of your roster would be.
Yeah, and look, no formula can you take to the bank. Like, even IU and Philly's top 80, you're going to screw up and get the top 80 kid that wasn't the right kid, right? Like, the question is just, does the formula work much more often than it doesn't? And in the case of the top 80 kids, it of course does. And I love Gabe Cupps, and I love Ja'Kai. I've gotten to meet Gabe in person, in addition to our several phone calls we've had with them.
Oh, good for them. You. Good for you.
But I do wonder, take the names off the jerseys for a second. What is better for any high-end college program right now? A freshman coming in who likely will have no game impact that leads to wins, or go out and get a transfer who you know is going to play 18 minutes a game as your backup point guard, and go for him, and then just let the chips fall where they may the next year when you have to replace that guy after 1 year? I don't know the answer. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good.
Right. It doesn't feel that good. But I even think practically, when you talk about somebody who's bought in, who knows what the coach wants, and again, so much about the coach, clearly Musselman can usually get guys to be cohesive very quickly and play the way he wants them to play at a high level. Other coaches, that might not be their jam, their gift, their talent. So they need guys who are willing to learn with them for a year or two. And then it's like, yes, and now here are the keys to the car, son. It's your turn. And maybe some programs are better served finding those players who they really believe will be there and will take over their junior and senior year.
Yes. I actually think a big part of why college basketball sucked this year, the quality, is because all the transfers.
Mm.
That you just had too many people learning new systems.
Didn't work for Illinois.
Huh?
It didn't work for Illinois.
No, it didn't. It didn't work for a lot of teams. But here's the problem. What you just said, I agree with. There's 1,100 kids, though, Ward, that went into the transfer portal, many of whom are the kids you're talking about. that just got frustrated by not playing enough, and they said, fuck it, I'm going to go somewhere that I know I'm going to play. Or, and by the way, they may end up going somewhere that they would play the same amount that they would have played at the school they left, but they had 2 years of that school telling them, no, no, you can earn minutes, and they didn't, so they just mad, and they go somewhere else. I worry that the player you're referring to may not in mass exist anymore. And so if you're trying to cherry pick the ones that you think as an 18-year-old will stick around to the 21 without playing a ton, you may get burned more than you wouldn't if you just started the wheel yourself. That's what I worry about, because these kids transferring, it is remarkable, Ward. I mean, it is remarkable.
If I'm being honest, I'm not worried about any of it. I am fascinated by it. I am entertained by it. I hope that our coaching staff, and I believe they do have their idea of how this is going to work for them. And look, they're all learning on the fly. There ain't a coach on the planet that's been doing this for 10 years.
Right.
And there can be some kind of advantage with Woody coming from the NBA and maybe having a few new pieces on a team every year that he needs to get right into the fold and get going. But regardless, I hope, and kind of believe there will always be kids who grew up rooting for a school and loving for that school. And some of them will be good enough and patient enough to be the you know, look, I think Trey Galloway, obviously he came up in a different era and he's here at this great change, you know, the epoch of NIL happened on his watch. And look, Trey could go somewhere else, play, start for a lot of other Division I teams. Now, look, he started all this year. So really, why would he do that? Not a great example, but I think, and Anthony, I think, you know, there's a guy who's just really okay not getting minutes. Yeah. And that, and ultimately every year you do need guys, you know, 9 through 13.
You need practice players.
And if one of those guys comes along, they're a high school kid maybe, and really starts to show improvement, and you're like, hey, I'm getting you in here. Hey, you other couple guys that aren't coming along that quickly, I guess we're going to lose you. But hey, one of you worked out really good, and now he's a foundational piece as a junior and senior.
Yeah, I hope so. I think some of those guys are few and far between. But I will say, like, when you say that you don't really worry about it, the only thing I worry about is what Yao was saying. And maybe it's an Indiana thing, you know, or just a me thing. But I do. The reason I love college basketball, a huge part of it is because I do feel like I get to see a kid progress for 4 years. And I remember what Victor Oladipo was his freshman year versus what he was as an All-American his junior year. Or I remember Yogi Ferrell as a kid who couldn't shoot his freshman year to being the best point guard in the country his senior year. I love that. And I like when the majority of the team is that. And those days are gone.
Yeah, the majority.
And that does make me sad. That does make me sad.
Yeah, for sure. That's sad. And the continuity, you lose the seniors, but, you know, you got 3 years of guys behind them. You're already getting to know. That is sad, and it is worth mourning that. But
how do you want to do that? How do you want to mourn that?
I'm going to try to. Let me see if I can shed a tear. No.
This is no. Oh God. I thought we were gonna show your acting skill.
Well,
do you think you could cry on command?
I know I can't.
I wonder if I could cry on command. Nope, I'm smiling.
I mean, you didn't try that hard.
I'm smiling though. It's too funny. All right. Well, look, exciting times. Yeah, did give us a little bit of a sneak peek over like the next couple days or week that we may have more news. Hope people picked up on that. That was interesting.
I did. I didn't want to read too much into it, but I wanted to read too much into it.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely reading too much into it. And I bet you the people that read Pigs will read too much into it.
Salamanders.
Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics. No E, no I.
But the
you didn't get him to say but the sometimes why. Ward, listen, man. That's your job.
Oh, okay. You know, I was going to delegate it to Daryl.
Hey, Daryl.
Yeah?
Listen, buddy, we've gone over this for 6 months. Every guest, we need them to say, but the sometimes why. You have to remind us to get them to do that. Cool, Daryl?
How about I just say it?
No, no. Daryl. Okay, go ahead, Daryl. Let's do a test.
All
no
right.
Me, no I.
But the sometimes why.
This is the worst bit ever. I mean, there is nothing funny about it.
The only thing that is funny about it is how not funny it is and that we keep doing it.
The two Sad. Worst bits in the history of podcasting are the live auction that we did with Brian Evans for the NCAA tournament, which lasted, I think, three picks, and Daryl. They are the two worst bits in the history of recorded audio.
But we're kind of committed to it now.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics. For the hysterics, no E, no I. Daryl?
But the sometimes why?
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.